Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Monday, July the 20th, 2026, 7:20, 26, 18 minutes past the hour. Flock cameras tonight at City Council's committee meetings is the topic du jour today. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, the committee meeting involving flock cameras will happen tonight, 6:30 p.m., second floor of City Hall, and we appreciate the calls during the first hour, and we've got one ready to go here during the second hour. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
And here we are.
Yes, I have a good friend of mine that's a proctologist, and he's going to help me source truckloads of Prep H to distribute to all the taxpayers, because I know, you know, some of them might not be getting the symptoms yet, but, you know, very soon they're going to start feeling those symptoms, and I at least would like to seriously provide relief to all of those people.
In what way do you mean?
What do you mean, what way do I mean? You know what Prep H is, right?
Yeah, no, I know. I don't need the visual on that. How will the taxpayers be getting it stuck to them, I guess is what I'm saying.
More taxes, less service.
Well, I think that's already happened.
Well, like I say, some people, they are starting to feel it, and some people are going to start feeling it more and more as the days, weeks, months, and years go by. That's why we want to kind of soothe the pain as soon as possible.
Well, it could be. I don't know. You know, people were very upset last Monday night, or I guess I should say one person was very upset about having the sanitation bill go up and losing curbside recycling.
I'm paying almost $50 a month for this. And I would like I'd like the mayor to explain what his calculations, how it led him to do the increase he did. Does he know calculus, or did he just figure he'd pull a number out of his anal orifice?
Well, you know, I don't know if this will be the topic tonight, but I certainly know that flock cameras will be a topic tonight.
Yeah, it's, it seems like, why do we need so many of them? We're not London. We haven't had terrorist attacks, etc. Seems like it. All the entry points into and out of the city would be the place to have those cameras, and not in the neighborhoods, etc.
Well, I do find it very curious that maybe it's just coincidence. I'm not going to be suspect of anybody. But in the week that this flock camera conversation was going on, which started last Monday night, that on Friday, the prosecutor, which is on our news, Ray Grogan, released a press release in regard to one of his cases, and in that press release's language, he mentions how flock cameras helped him in that case.
Ray Grogan is a media whore. He'll do anything to get his name out there and prove his worth.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I'm doing stuff. We got flock cameras. Hey, I'm important. I'm Ray Grogan. I'm the prosecutor. Well, I like to prosecute people even though I don't have the proper goods to get someone.
Well, I guess my question is, do you think that was just a coincidence that was put in the press release?
No, it was no coincidence. You know, it's hard to prove conspiracy, but these people, I think, they have their little cabals, and they come up with strategies and things to substantiate their worth, which, you know, if they would do what they're worth, they wouldn't have to try to get things to substantiate their worth.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I've been covering these meetings for a long time, and tonight I believe it will come down to, I wonder if the sheriff will be there. I would have to believe he would be, because I don't think he wants to lose these in the city, so I would imagine if the sheriff can be there, he will be. Prosecutor Grogan, I don't know. They want him there. I know Mrs. Larkin asked if he could be there. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Now, then...
So what time is this meeting?
6:30.
6:30. Tonight?
Yep.
What? I mean, court is over generally at 5, unless the jury is out. But what could possibly keep Ray Grogan from being at that meeting?
He might be out of town. I don't know.
Might be out of town. Well, you know, some people are on vacation even though they are physically present, you know?
Well, he could be there. But the other side is, are people going to show up tonight who don't normally show up to speak about this? Because I think if it's the same group, they've heard it before. And I don't think that's going to sway anybody up there.
Well, you know, it's going to take a tidal wave to sway the not ready for prime time politicians.
Well,
and they should all be, I'm Ralph Smith. I got some phone calls, and they want to keep the cameras.
Well,
how many phone calls? Who did you speak with?
Well, good questions. And I think those are questions that the public will need to ask of him when he goes down that route. And if anybody's heard this program, which a lot of people have.
We don't need all of those flock cameras. Again, at the entrance and exits of Marion, put them up there. But more effort, time, and energy, etc., could be put into education and training of our police force.
Well, the thing that's going to be interesting tonight is there is legislation, which we posted on our Facebook page last week, that was passed by City Council in 2023 that said when the contract came up for these flock cameras, which it did back in June, that council would have to vote to continue the cameras. That vote never happened. Now, is that going to be pressed tonight? Why didn't that vote happen?
Well, rumor has it, there was a contract, but Matt Pollack sat on it, and nobody has ever seen it since.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Pollack will be there tonight.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get my proctologist friend to confirm or deny that contract is missing.
Well, maybe he'll show up tonight.
Who knows?
Who knows? Hey, thanks for calling.
Better tomorrow.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I think these are all issues involving the flock cameras, and these are all things that are going to come to a head tonight, 6:30, second floor of City Hall. Now, is the sheriff going to show? Is the prosecutor going to show? Mrs. Larkin, Second Ward City Council, asked for that. Will it happen? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Go ahead, caller.
Scott.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm having a wonderful morning. How are you?
Well, I'm sure just sorting out all the stuff. I have a very technical question to ask you.
Go right ahead.
I set up my computer and I can look out my window from... I live at the south end of Blaine. I have not seen a bird. In the last hour, I have not seen a bird out. The trees are standing still.
Mm.
Now, what's that a sign of?
Well, you know, it could have something to do with the smoke. I don't think the tree's standing still, but the bird issue might be.
It might be what?
The smoke issue from the fires in Canada.
Well, that might be, but I'm not kidding you. Maybe I'll see one bird now, and again, but just one. Usually my power lines are full of them, but there's not one bird on my power lines. Once in a while, I'll see a breeze in the trees, but most of the trees are standing still. My firebush right outside the window does not move.
You know, that's interesting.
Now, this is a little bit more important than it than the damn council meeting.
Well, I'll tell you something. Listen, I've said this once, and I'll say it again because it happened last night when I, you know, I go do my nightly mile walk, and I was out last night doing it, and there was a pretty good-sized rabbit, big rabbit, and it was broad daylight. It was probably 7 o'clock last night, 6:30, 7 o'clock. And I'm walking. Now, this is, you know, houses, neighborhood, fences, no bushes anywhere nearby. And this rabbit was 3 feet away from me and was not running away. There is something going on with what we would call wild animals. Wild animals used to be absolutely afraid of people, and you might catch them out of the corner of your eye as they're running away from you if they saw you, and that might be at dusk or dawn. These animals right now will come into your neighborhood. They'll stand 3 feet away from you. They do not run away unless you charge them. And I don't know what's that's all about, but that's something in the last 2 years as well.
But I just, like I said, usually my power lines in overhead are lined up with, they're usually sparrows, and I don't see, as I look out my window right now, I do not see one bird, and the trees are dead still.
It really could have to do with the wildfires, because I'll tell you something that's happening. We tend to gauge these wildfires by how much smoke is outside, and yesterday was a far worse air day, air quality day, than Friday was.
I can't think that. My God, Friday was awful.
Well, I think it was Thursday that was the worst.
Oh, maybe it was.
I think. But
it was hotter than a biscuit, and there was no movement.
Well,
and you couldn't. Poor people that have lung problems, they best just stay home.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think people are realizing that the longer this goes on, and today is day 5, you might have been okay the first couple days and not noticed anything. But I literally saw a 20-year-old person, young 20s, sick last night, and I don't know that they had any kind of problems at all. Absolutely sick. Their voice was hoarse. They said they were having trouble breathing. I think it's an accumulation of this going on for 5 days, and I really do. I mean, birds have to breathe. I think that this could be an issue.
It could be. I never thought about it as that, because today it's pretty clear. Now, if it had been the other day, I could have understood why, but it is just all. Remember when we had the eclipse, and right when it happened, there was no movement, period. The trees weren't moving. There was not a bird in sight.
Because
we were sitting, I was over at the neighbor sitting in her driveway, and that's what we remarked. You know, it's dead still. There's not a movement.
Well, that's it. Now, listen, I might have some breaking news here. Let me get to this while I have you on the air. But it is weird that nothing's moving. But I, you know, I'm no meteorologist I'm not Jim Fowler or Jack Hanna. But I think this might have something to do with
the fires.
Yeah, the fires. Because everything's got to breathe as far as I know.
Trump will take care of that here in just a bit. He's got a lot on his plate, so he'll get around to that, too. That's the end of the story. I was just curious what was going on in my little world. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, well, here's the breaking news, I guess we have at this point. The Auditor of State, this is from the State Auditor, Keith Faber. Here we go. The Auditor of State performed a fiscal analysis of the City of Marion pursuant to Section 118.03 of the Ohio Revised Code. The analysis indicates, and it is hereby declared, that a fiscal emergency exists at the City of Marion as defined by Section 118.03A5 of the Ohio Revised Code. Accordingly, on behalf of the Auditor of State, this report is hereby submitted and filed with Bill Collins, Mayor of the City of Marion, Mary Stoneburner, President of Council of the City of Marion, Mike DeWine, Governor, Kimberly Mernix, Director of the Office of Budget Management, Robert Sprague, Treasurer of the State, and Joanne Kasotis, Secretary of the Marion County Budget Commission. This is out today, the Declaration of Fiscal Emergency for the City of Marion. So, I guess that leads us to the question of what is fiscal emergency in the state of Ohio? So I want to get some something to read here, so we get it actual and as it is. Hang with me for a second. Okay, fiscal emergency. A fiscal emergency is a severe financial crisis where a government, municipality, or school district is cash insolvent and unable to meet ongoing commitments such as payroll, vendor bills, or debt obligations. The declaration is typically made by the state auditor and strips power from local officials to transfer control to a state-appointed oversight commission. So there you have it. How about that? It's the most serious form. So Marion, I guess as of this morning, has been placed on fiscal emergency. Anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. Well, that's pretty severe. 740-383-9944. If you have a thought here, this is breaking news as we have it. Give me a buzz. But just got the word that Marion has been placed under fiscal emergency. Well, that's something. Or if you want to talk more about the flock cameras or anything else on your mind this morning, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. Or if you have any ideas as to why the trees and the birds are acting the way they are, the winds, I mean, these are serious things as well. There's no doubt about it. Feel free to call in. Might be a lot of shock going on right now. 35 minutes past the hour, but Marion placed on fiscal emergency. How about that? 740-383-9944. Any thoughts out there? Well, maybe that stopped everybody in their tracks this morning. If anybody would like to say anything, now would be the time. And apparently this is the answer we've been waiting on for quite some time. And if there's any city council member out there or anybody in that particular vein, we would love to hear from you as well. But that is not a good news for anybody in the city. Go ahead, caller.
What the hell, Scott? I got an opinion on everything.
Go ahead. Hit it all.
I don't know about all that. Hey, what I want to know is, you made the comment that these rabbits don't move unless you charge them. So I get a picture of, like, Monty Python in search of the Holy Grail. And, like, so I need to find out what your walk path is, and we want to get on the flock cameras. And I want video of you charging
them. Well, see, I don't charge them.
How do you know they won't move unless you charge them?
Well, they seem to be a little timid. I mean, they'll come up to you, but I would think if I, like, made a lunge. I've seen kids do it. Let's put it that way. Kids in the neighborhood, I've seen them do it, and they do run.
Oh, so you've watched the kids charge them?
I have watched the kids charge them, yeah.
And you never just, like, when nobody was looking, like, did a real, like, short charge or anything on them? Or?
Well, I've never short-charged them, but I have seen the kids do it.
So if we get any video of you doing that, it's not you, right?
It's not. No, I don't think there's any video of me. I just sit there and stare at them when they come up so close, and I think, why are you so close to me?
They're probably thinking the same damn thing.
They are, but didn't they used to run? I mean, am I wrong about this?
I think animals are getting more desensitized because of the, you know, just the rabbits and stuff around here. They are, you know, they are very not as timid as they used to be, but I think it's usually about food, and it's usually about stress or food is when animals, I mean, other than like if they're rabid or something, you know, as rabies.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, it's usually something about their feeding habits, and maybe it has something to do with the smoke and the heat. So, you know, that changes how animals, their eating habits and things like that. Because, I mean, if you drive down the road and you get used to it, if you look around, a lot of people have tunnel vision, but if you, you know, look left or right every now and then, you know, like deer and other animals, you'll see them out at certain times, you know, 6, 7 o'clock. You can go down 309 West, and, you know, you'll see herds of deer out there, and always out there at the same time. You know, it's going to be an hour off after daylight saving times, of course, you know. But, so, on the flock cameras, you know, you were talking the other day about your possible 5 votes, and I think, I don't know what Ms. Larkin, and I said this before, what she would vote. It came to my mind that 2 weeks ago I had left one, you know, after one of the committees had ended, I had followed Mr. Bill Dichtel out of the chambers as he was leaving with another gentleman. And, you know, I was imploring him to stand on his own 2 feet and vote his conscience, not what he thinks everybody wants or thinks what the administration wants or whatever. And I'm just going to paraphrase, and you know, but you know, he's made the statement that, you know, he was pissed because he felt he'd been lied to about the cameras. So I feel you're, I don't know if he's a 100%, but I would implore Mr. Dichtel to, here's your chance to stand on who and what you think. Not what you think you should do to make the administration happy, or what you think you should do to make the people happy. Listen to the people. You know, don't do what you think you should do. You know, listen to the people and vote your voice. You know, and I think maybe, you know, because I'm positive, you know, Scott Kreider is going to be a vote yes. Aaron Rollins, a vote yes. Thad Smith, a vote yes. Nathan Stevenson, a vote yes to, you know, get rid of them. So, and I would also think that I'm kind of with you, Scott, is if there's already an ordinance in place, and part of the whole issue is about trust, and we have to trust people. You know, it's like what the police chief says, you know, you're going to put somebody in charge of the protocol of having those cameras and make sure none of the police in Marion, Ohio, you know, like all over the country are doing, but, you know, we haven't caught them yet in Marion, Ohio, but, you know, it's sometimes we make laws and we do things to deter it. You know, you can't always wait until it happens. You got to deter that behavior, you know? So, if we can't trust them to come back at the end of the contract and be 100%, you know, here's what we have to do to carry on or carry forward with these cameras. And, you know, and I think there's a question as to, you know, what was council's authority when it was originally written, an original contract. You know, I'm sure there was money involved. They authorized some funding, and they also had to authorize whether we wanted them or not, right?
Right.
But
I think the mayor,
this contract got renewed, and it didn't come. It came before council for the money part, and they said they didn't have the money. So, you know, they said that they didn't. They weren't going to continue on that front. But it was never brought up about, do we want to continue it, you know, just based on the merits or what we don't like about it. And I think you brought up earlier that the original flock cameras, you said that Schertzer signed off on it, right?
Now, that's my understanding.
So he didn't need council's permission, correct?
I I believe that's true, yes.
So when you say who would have signed off on it this time, I mean, kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. See, I don't know if that process happened, though, so I can't put that at the mayor's doorstep.
No, I get it, but right. I mean, as far as if we're playing Clue and we're trying to figure the, you know, we're just, you know, throwing spitballs out here and making opinions and things, I mean, it's not a far stretch to think that, wow, if one mayor was able to do it and usurp council, then, I mean, this mayor, and again, this isn't an attack on Mr. Collins or not an attack, it's just, I mean, I'm sure this, everybody knows this mayor's in favor of the flock cameras, and if he can bypass having to go through council on something, don't you think he's going to do it?
Well, I don't know. See, I don't know if people realize that this ordinance was even in place, which comes back to the conversation we had on Friday. But I will tell you this, I think this news that we just got here, Marion being placed under fiscal emergency, is going to be a much bigger issue for them tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. And, I mean, so you said that that's the worst
Let me give you the definition from the Auditor of State's website. Fiscal emergency, entities declared to be in fiscal emergency come under the oversight of a financial planning and supervision commission. The Auditor of State is the financial supervision of this commission. So essentially...
I'm not being an asshole here, but I mean, that pretty much puts them just in the sole role of being a public servant, you know, as far as this administration. They're just going to, you know, they're going to fill the figurehead positions, and the state's going to give the orders, and you know, the mayor and everybody else are just going to do what they're told, basically, right?
Well, at this point, for people who have said that this is the state coming in to take over the city, this is pretty much it.
I just think the irony of the whole public servant thing and da 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 da. It's you know, I love your city, but strongest town a year ago, something like that. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think this was the thing that people disliked or hoped would not happen. This was.
Yeah, I'm not happy about this, and people. I guarantee you, people are going to say, "Oh, look at Townsend. He's." I'm not happy at all, but I don't think this is like out of the realm of if you have any kind of sanity about you at all, and you can think for yourself at all. That if anybody didn't see this coming, and my thing is that, you know, this administration has blamed everything on that they haven't balanced the books since before. Well, what kind of smart administration goes on a spending spree when you don't know how much money's there?
Well,
and I would love to hear Lila Lang, you know, since she's been into the position, several months now, and boy, she was going to come in and find all the, she's going to like to be the Elon Musk of Marion, Ohio, and doge it and all that, you know. I think she went from doging it to dodging it. She'll be dodging it tonight, I bet.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't really know what their position's going to be now. I mean, I think that the position is essentially, my understanding of fiscal emergency, and I'm no financial wizard, is basically that the city or the state will now make the decisions for Marion financially until they can show that they can get this back under control. And that could be cuts to a whole lot of things that people don't want to see cuts to.
My bet is, and you know, I'll bet you beer or whatever it is you want to bet, I'm going to bet there are going to be a whole lot of empty seats in the box tonight, is what I'm going to bet.
Well, I don't know if they'll want to face questions on this. It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be a good night for them. So you think the final vote on flock cameras tonight will be what? Do you think legislation's going to get out of there with the idea that flock cameras will be removed?
I think if they can get it to the vote, yeah, I do. I think if it does, I think the variable would be Bill Dichtel. in my opinion. Like I said, I don't know Pam Larkin. I mean, maybe she's going to vote a yes. I have no clue. I mean, I've not really heard her opinions one way or another. I've not seen her put it out there. But I know what Bill Dichtel said to me that day, and he said in front of him, you know, another person, and I would encourage Bill to, you know, vote his opinion, not what he's trying to do, not trying to be the buddy, or, you know, you need to get elected sometime, Bill, is what you need to do. I mean, you've been appointed, so you got to earn your stripes, and so this is a chance to earn those stripes.
So you think Bill Dichtel's the variable. How do you feel about Mrs. Larkin?
I don't, like I said, I don't really know anything about what her feeling is. If I had to, I mean, off the top of my head, I would have put her down as a no.
Put her down as a no on this one?
I know some people have said that they felt that, you know, she kind of, you know, was leaning the other direction. I don't know where that comes from, but I mean, off the top of my head, if I was a betting man, I would vote no.
Well, it's going to be an interesting night. Do you think the people will show up for this?
I mean, I know I put some things online about, you know, calling Mr. Kreider and calling, or Mr. Kreider, calling Mr. Edwards, no, calling Mr. Clark and Mr. Smith, and let their opinions be, you know, expressed to them, and, you know, about, you know, about 300 people have paid attention to that. So I don't know if they've actually called them or not. It'd be interesting to hear. I personally think I think we need to hold their feet to the fire for the original contract. I mean, that's the very basics. As I said earlier, we're expected to trust them to do what's right, and if we can't, we can't even trust them, or to me, there's a little shadow of mistrust of how this contract went forward this time. Seems disingenuous at the very least. I think that needs to be addressed. I really am one of those type of people that, like Mr. Schauber said, if there's still a vote on the floor because the president didn't do her job or didn't run the meeting right. I'm not trying to blame her. It's just, it's all about process, and that's what it's all about, process. Can't say in one aspect, you know, we want decorum and we want rules, but then on something else, be like, oh wow, that was just a little, you know, miscombobulation or whatever. No, it's process. So, I'd be kind of like, you know, if there's still a vote on the floor, let's just vote, you know, get it done.
Yeah.
I mean, if there still needs to be additional ordinance or whatever, I think this is also the time to get it, you know, get that into the committee and get things moving.
See where we go from here.
This is the time. I would hope that, didn't mean to cut you off, Scott, but I would think that with this fiscal emergency, like you said, I think this fiscal emergency is going to really just change the whole focus tonight. But if this even does come up, I would hope that they keep some focus on it and this lights a fire on them, because as far as how the city's being run, that's up to the state now, and they'll issue their orders and then they'll implement them. So they kind of should be able to free their minds up on other things and be able to focus on, you know, the annual ordinances that come up, whether it be once a year or every 3 years. I mean, you got a commercial building code issue that somebody brought up a couple weeks ago. And, you know, there was a one-year trial period. You know, I would be interested in what's the process. You know, how do these annual things, or these revisits, as I call them, how do they get scheduled, and how do we make sure we don't miss those? I mean, I would think it'd be very easy in the computer age, but pre-computer, how was it ever done? Because we don't seem to be really doing the computer stuff around here. But I would think that the clerk would have some kind of system in place that, you know, if this ordinance is supposed to come up a year from now or on the third year anniversary, on which date, and I mean, there should be something popping up on a calendar on a computer saying, you know, hey, we have to revisit this ordinance, and this goes on to the agenda, and
Yeah, how this all kind of gets handled.
But as I said, I don't. It's just really interesting with the whole news flash that you just issued. I think it just changes the whole dynamic, honestly. And as far as people being there, if there was going to be anybody there tonight for Flock, I think it's going to even be more so once that news gets out, because I think people are really, you know, people are struggling. People are struggling with bills and this and that. You know, Naomi's got, you know, she's posted some things today and a couple of weeks ago about how her, you know, sewer and sanitation bills, you know, she's got different properties and she's getting the exact same bill to the, you know, from multiple, properties, and it's based on water consumption. So how can several different properties have the exact same bill, and it's happened multiple months? I mean, what does that tell you?
I tell you, I think we got a call coming in here, but hey, I'm with you, and I'll see you tonight.
Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. All right, I think we have a call coming in here in regard to the breaking news this morning that Marion has been placed under fiscal emergency, and maybe to give us some kind of clarification on this and so on and so forth, we'll get some things going on here momentarily. But that is the, I would say, worst case scenario at this particular point, that Marion could be placed under fiscal emergency. We'll try to get this phone call in here momentarily. Well, I guess here we are. And at this point, what do you do? Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Ah, Aaron.
City Councilman-at-Large, Aaron Rollins.
Yeah, City Councilman-at-Large, Aaron Rollins, thank you so much for calling in this morning. Based off our breaking news 20 minutes ago, the City of Marion has been placed in fiscal emergency. Aaron, what does this mean for people who don't understand what this is?
Yeah, so I just issued a press release. You should have a copy of it, Scott, but I'll kind of summarize kind of the last part of that press release. So the biggest part of this is, as part of this process, the State Auditor's Office is going to work daily and directly with the City Auditor, the City Treasurer, and the Administration at no cost to the City for 2 years to ensure that we have proper procedures, proper training, proper software, and the foundation to maintain accountability in our City's finances moving forward.
Now, Aaron, is this the scenario that people have been talking about, worst-case scenario, essentially where people use the terminology the city is essentially taking over the finances of Marion?
No, I think we will still have full control of our finances. Some may view this as a worst-case scenario. As I stated in my press release, I view this as a best-case scenario. You know, having sat on council for the last 5 years, I've grown extremely frustrated with the lack of resolve from the auditor's office, the treasurer's office, to get this thing fixed. So, what this means for us is that over the next 2 years, the State Auditor's Office is going to have daily representation in City Hall. They're going to review all of our policies, procedures, and ensure that moving forward that our staff is trained and able to do the functions of both the auditor's office and the treasurer's office moving forward. For me, this is an exciting next chapter for the finances in the City of Marion.
Essentially, why has this happened? A lot of changes recently. But why, yep, with the plan submitted, because correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the plan submitted by the administration were to stop this from happening. Why did we get here?
Yeah, ultimately there are six criteria that the state looks at to enter into fiscal emergency. We only qualified for one of those, but that one qualification was enough to send us into fiscal emergency, and that one qualifier was, you know, we've talked about it for the last 5 years. It's having individual account ledger items with negative balances. We can't continue to do that. Having sat in the meeting with the state auditor, you know, in terms of cash position, we're still in a very healthy spot. We're not in any danger of not being able to make payroll. So from a cash perspective, the city is very healthy. But what we've talked about for the last 5 years, accountability, it's just not there. It's been lacking. And in that meeting last week, the state auditor laid it out pretty clear. You know, this issue started back in 2019, 2020, when the auditor at the time decided that we didn't need to reconcile the books. You can directly trace this action to that action. So that is our root cause here.
Mm. Now, it's interesting because if we go to the state auditor's website, just the definition of fiscal emergency, entities declared to be in fiscal emergency come under the oversight of a financial planning and supervision commission. The auditor of state is the financial supervisor of the commission. So will things have to be run through the state at this point, financial decisions for the city of Marion?
No, we will form a commission. So just as that indicated, we will begin the process of forming a commission that will essentially oversee this program, consider it a liaison almost between the state auditor's office and the city of Marion.
So is there anything that worse that could have happened that we did avoid at this point with the state?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Was there a worse position we could have been in? Was there a worse situation that could have come back from the state?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this could be much worse for any number of reasons. I mean, we could be in a situation where city employees are in danger of not getting a paycheck, where police and fire are unable to perform their duties. So there are, you know, there's a whole host of scenarios that could have been worse than this.
Right.
To me, this is, I view this as a best case scenario. I had little faith that, you know, we were going to be able to accomplish this on our own without direct involvement and input from the state of Ohio.
I guess what
just,
I was
given the track record over the last 5 years, right? We needed some help.
Well, I guess what I was saying is, there a worse category you can be put in by the state? Maybe that was the clearer question I wanted to ask. When you submit a plan to the state when you're asking for help, is there a worse category you could be put in than fiscal emergency?
Not that I'm aware of, but I guess I haven't gone down the rabbit hole of financial designations. I know that's certainly a very serious one.
So essentially at this point, just for people listening, there will be a commission formed, and that mm-hmm. will oversee a lot of what's going on financially in Marion and try to get things back to where they need to be?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And
just so everyone's clear on what that commission will look like, you know, the chair of that commission is really going to be assigned by the state auditor. It'll probably be someone from the auditor's office. That commission will include the mayor. We'll have some council representation. We'll have office management and budget representation. There'll actually be some representation from the county auditor's office. There's also some governmental employees, so I believe the mayor will get a resident appointment as well. So it's really kind of spelled out by the state of Ohio how that commission is formed and who can participate in that commission.
And essentially, what does that commission do?
So they're essentially going to oversee, help oversee functions within the city. So if we have a large, say, expenditure, this commission is going to review that expenditure. They're going to review budgets. They're going to make sure that we're following policy procedures within the office of the treasurer and the auditor. those are the types of things that this commission is going to function as over the next 2 years.
Now, will they have jurisdiction over the fiscal, the financial committee, and what the administration would like to do financially?
I think there's some back and forth there. I don't know that it's necessarily control per se, but there's certainly, I view it as more of, as I said earlier, kind of a liaison between the city and the state auditor.
And quick question here, Aaron, before we run out of time. Tonight is the Flock camera discussion, amongst other things. How do you think this is going to go after the Ralph Smith interview last week? It would seem as if there's a chance that the provision to eliminate Flock cameras could be struck altogether from this legislation tonight.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, I think I've put together some strong legislation. I've listened to the concerns and the wishes of residents all across Marion, and I think I've put forth legislation that certainly, I think, appeals to those folks who have come to council meetings over the last 2 years to express their disapproval with the Flock system. So I'm looking forward to the debate tonight. I know I'm prepared to discuss my legislation, and I'm hoping that we can at least move it forward to full council and have a robust council debate.
Should be a very interesting discussion, if nothing else, tonight. Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye. City Councilman at Large Aaron Rollins, this is where we are. Now, obviously, we'll talk more about this tomorrow and try to figure out where we are at this point. We're out of time today. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe.